Hallelujah. I want to encourage all of you this morning. On a prayer calendar, we have every family member listed that's been attending here. And there's a few that's moved away and they're still on this calendar, and we pray for them. And I would really encourage you to, you know, maybe pin this up in your bedroom or pin it up in your bathroom. And at least once a day, take a look at it and pray for the people that are on that day. Because that's what makes everything work, is if we're praying for each other. And if you happen to look on this and you don't find your name on it, which is possible, because sometimes I slip up and my daughter slips up and getting names on here. But if your name is not on here, please let me know, because we want to pray for you. Okay?
All right. Hallelujah. You know, think about the residue of the Holy Spirit as you spent that much time and spent that much effort coming out and having God continue to work on your heart and your life. Man, it just really makes a difference in a person's life. And I just feel the residue of God here, and as we were praying yesterday, and really the answers that have been given us. You know, we have questions, He gives us answers. And there were so many answers, I believe, that it was given to us. Again, what He thinks about us. You know, as the Spirit of the Lord spoke over your life, what He thinks about you. It's pretty cool, huh? Man, pretty life-changing stuff. So we appreciate the time, the effort, all the workings and labors of the praise and worship teams and kitchen workers, those that took care of all of the areas, cleaning the church and all of those things. We appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom. I think maybe the biggest revelation I had is that it's glory sowing. And the water of God and the garden of God. And I just see again this morning, as we're obedient in so many areas, but in areas of giving, because we spend a lot of time working and laboring. You know, during the week, we, you know, sometimes 40, 50, 60 hours. And then we come into the house of the Lord and we're saying, well, you know, we spent a lot of time working. And then the challenge to say, okay, God, in your house, this is what we're going to do according to your word, and how it changes everything in a person's life. Yes. You can get testimony after testimony after testimony. You just have to be a doer of it, and then God will begin to show you, you know, just the wild stuff that goes on in tithes, offerings, with provisions. And so we're, I mean, certainly this church would not be here if it wasn't some order of laying down and saying, I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. Amen. So in your giving today, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're making out a check, make it payable to the community church, and God bless you in your giving. Amen. Okay, and we don't take offerings, we receive offerings. So in other words, come up and we receive the offering that God did for you this last season of time. Hallelujah. I was thinking about the conference, and there was so much that was spoken. Jeremy, do we have Sunday night it's going to be available this evening. Huh? The first night. Oh, Monday night or Sunday night? Okay. All right, Monday night we'll play tonight, and then it'll go to Wednesday. So all nights would be taken care of. I don't know how the prophetic word, if you had a prophetic word, which I think everyone had a prophetic word, but I don't know how it came out on the recording, but hopefully it come out so that you could rehearse in your mind what God spoke to you. And also maybe the sermons or the words that were spoken were, especially that first night, and he did even call that a prophetic word that he was putting out, and that was about an hour and some. And I think that it's probably was one of the better areas of understanding salvation and bringing people to Christ. And so that would be going on tonight. That would be Monday night. So I think that's very important. And I have notes from other evenings, and all of them were very, very good. It's not, but I thought Monday night was extremely prophetic. So hallelujah. Well, the one question was asked, is Jesus enough? You know, that was a question asked. And then I guess maybe, you know, like normal, when they ask a question like that, we would say, yes, Jesus is enough. In fact, we had conferences, Jesus is Enough conference. You remember that? That was quite a few years ago. So apparently he was enough many years ago, and he's enough now. But around that question, Dave was kind of laying out some work for us to do, and one of them was capturing us in the Spirit. Said that, you know, is Jesus enough? And we would say, yes, Jesus is enough. But his next line, then Jesus has to capture us in the Spirit. And I was thinking the very first day that I believed, it was probably a great day, day I didn't understand, day I didn't know what exactly happened, but knowing something happened. And when I left the meeting at the Detroit Lakes High School, I knew something happened. I couldn't give you a theological answer of what happened, but I knew something happened. And from that day forward, my life, because of choices that were placed in front of me by the Spirit, started coming up, and it started changing me. Started changing my mind, started changing who I literally was. And I remember I was a elder at the VFW, and about after a couple of months, they said, Jake will never be back again. And it was because the Spirit of the Lord changed me. The Spirit of God touched me. And I think that that's what's so important. Is Jesus enough? Yes, Jesus is enough. Yes, he will come in your life, and he can change you if you're willing to give him daily thoughts and saying, okay, I'm going to give you this day. And I started praying for people that I could run into and that I could witness to. Because I knew that if I could witness to someone about what happened to me, it would energize me and energize the move that was in my life. And I think that that's really what this season of time is going to reveal. I mean, we're in 2020, year of great vision, and I really believe that in these next two and a half months, there's going to, as Dave said, that there was going to be some great changing that is going on. And of course, if we look from the natural, many things will change and need to change. And we're wanting it to change by the Spirit of the Lord, not by man's hand. Amen. And as we were praying yesterday, in fact, I was talking with Danny, and Barabbas, the thought of Barabbas and Jesus came up. And there was a choice for people when that would Jesus be let go or would Barabbas be let go? And the people, they knew about Jesus, and apparently he wasn't enough for them, at least. They didn't make a good spiritual choice, and because the name Barabbas came up, and they said, release Barabbas, release Barabbas. I just feel like in the hearts of people, the challenge is, do we release what's going on in the earth, what man is doing, what demonic forces are doing, or do we release Jesus Christ and his spirit on the earth? And is Jesus enough? And I believe he is. I believe completely that he was enough back 40 years ago when I gave my life to Christ. He's enough for me today and for you today. And he's enough for us to go out and fulfill this whole thing called life for the rest of our lives. I really believe that with all my heart. And the spirit of Barabbas is just, you know, live for today, forget about tomorrow. You know, my life matters, no one else's life matters. You know, it's really a futile attempt to live a very, very selfish life. And Jesus isn't enough. Barabbas, we know, isn't enough. But you're going to look everywhere and anywhere to fulfill something that is in your life that is unfulfillable. Amen? I mean, I think about people on drugs. I think about the situations that people are in today. Jesus is enough, but you're going to have to choose Jesus. And you can't choose the world that we live in, you know, whether it be good or bad, sometimes good, sometimes bad. We have to choose Jesus. It goes on, as David, the third thought was, God is doing so many great things on planet Earth. And he even said, shock and awe. You know, do we realize what Jesus is doing on the earth? You know, I've seen more miracles in this last week in people's life than I've ever seen before. I felt like the Holy Spirit was moving in every person's life that we stopped and we talked to. And we had a chance to pray for the staff here at the community church with the daycare and different individuals. I mean, it was mind-boggling. It was life-changing. And I just think, well, we could do that every day. You know, it wasn't anything but taking the time and saying, God, show me the person that needs a touch from God or needs the area of salvation. I want to be saved. I want to have my life. You know, the first day that I believed, God showed me that salvation was real. You know, salvation is real. I'm saved. And we're going to get down. It's going to be about 2 minutes. I'm just going to read a few other things that were spoken. Shock and awe was the third thing. Move with his presence. Move with his presence. And I was thinking about moving with his presence. And several times this week, maybe you felt it that you there was a move going on and it was his presence. In fact, us all sitting here for the hours that we sat here, and we had some difficulty in our sound and different things, but people sat here and there was a presence of God that they were looking for, desiring, and I really believe their lives are changed because they did that. Wasn't so exciting. But because they did it, God's presence not only was here, but he followed you out the door. And his presence is what we're wanting. Moving with his presence. He talked about programming people or pastoring them. And again, he talked about the great shepherd, talked about Jesus, that he was the great pastor. And it wasn't just a program that he put out there. If you do this program, then everything's going to be all right. And we've got hundreds and thousands of programs, but without, I shouldn't say without Jesus, I should say with Jesus, he is enough. And you can go through the thousand programs, but Jesus is enough. And from the very first day that you believe, the challenge is believing the first day and the second day and the third day and the fourth day and keep it up the rest of your life. Because as you asked in the first days of your Christianity for somebody to be in front of you and you're talking to them about Jesus, he'll do it in the third year, in the fourth year, in the fifth year, and all of your life. Jesus is enough, and he'll put people in your path that will fulfill the call that's called capturing us in the Spirit. You see, when he captured me, I'm just going, I don't know what happened, but I was sitting up there, and it was the hardest thing that I could do was to walk down and ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. Now, I didn't even know what that meant at the time, but the challenge come, and it seemed like the longest walk that I ever walked was to go down and ask Jesus to come into my life. But after I did that, I was captured by the Spirit. Now, you'd say, well, what experience did you have there? Well, I didn't know what that meant. But from that day forward, I desired to follow Jesus. And I really, you know, it isn't that I didn't backslide a few times, but my heart was moved by Jesus. And I think that's so important that our hearts are moved by Jesus. And if our hearts are moved, you'll move other hearts. You know, I asked a question this week. I had two guys working with me, and I said, well, you know, what's your belief system? And the one guy said he was an atheist, and the other guy said he had accepted Christ. And I said, well, what is atheism anyway to you? What's that thought? And he said, well, I don't have any church that I particularly go to. And so it wasn't a Catholic, Presbyterian, Baptist. So he didn't go to church, and that qualified him in his mind that he's an atheist. And as soon as I went to Jesus, everything changed. And I said, yeah, but what about Jesus? What about God? And so what do you think about them? And it was silence. He didn't say anything, but there was something there. The Spirit of the Lord was there because you said it. Now, did you lead them to Christ? No, I didn't lead them to Christ. But I left a seed there that I said, Jesus said, we must be born again. And I said, I made that decision many, many years ago, and you can make that decision. But then it's the commitment to walk the decision out. And so the Spirit of the Lord, if you're praying for someone, do you know that the Spirit of the Lord is moving? Yeah. And if you brought somebody to Christ, would you know that the Holy Spirit brought them to Christ? You know, back in the day, it was something like 4% or 5% of the people that asked Jesus into their life, or if it was 100 people, 4% of the 100 really asked Jesus in their life. So you'd have 100 people give their life to Christ, but four of them out of 100 only knew that they gave their life to Christ. So there was a real, you know, a place where so many people just went back to the church, went back to the way they lived because they had to be captured in the Spirit. And if you have a good line, if an evangelist, you know, they'll bring you, and if you have something good to say in a good line, most every person You can twist the area where they'll come up and they'll probably ask Jesus Christ into their life. Now, I don't know. I thought I was pretty serious when I went up. I guess as serious as anyone else. It was Super Bowl Sunday. And, you know, Super Bowl Sunday isn't the best time to have a evangelical move. But you know what? There was 1,000 people there. And I bet you there was 100, 150 people came forward and accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. Okay, it was about moving by the Spirit. And I think that David saying, you know, it's not about my position as a prophet. It wasn't about me being built up. In fact, he said something, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but he said, well, could you imagine that Jesus saved you not for you? You remember that? He said, maybe you were not saved for you, but you were saved for other people. And how many other people could be changed because you were saved? You know, and in your walk, I thought about that. I said, okay. You know, because if somebody would ask me the question to say, well, are you glad you're saved? Absolutely. Okay. And isn't Jesus good? Yes, he's wonderful. But then I was thinking, I said, okay, that's great. But maybe God saved me to do something great for other people. Because, you know, you become a giver after, you know, after Jesus saves you, you should be a lot like him, giving eternal life out, because Jesus is enough. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so it went on, and he had mentioned something about making disciples, not Christians. Making disciples, not Christians. And I was thinking about that as if you get someone and you're working with them, what are you trying to make them? You know, you're trying to train them. The first days, the second days, they might be a laborer, but you know, a month down the line, you're wanting them to do more that relates to what you're doing in a big picture so that they could do it, so that they would carry their own weight in the project. And I really believe that that's what God is doing. It wasn't about making Christians, it was about making disciples. And disciples, making a disciple, then they will make other disciples. And I was talking with, the crew, and I said, if you give someone instruction and they start doing it, and they start doing it over and over again, man, that's the greatest thing that's ever happened. You're discipling them so they can do the project. And he mentioned anointing does not mean approval. And I don't remember exactly the story that he told, but it was a story that someone was healed. There was a miraculous miracle in their lives. And they said to the person, oh, he's so anointed because that happened. But the guy was a little bit off the wall, asked the minister. And it wasn't the anointing that was on trial. It was him as a minister of the gospel. And so sometimes you see people, wow, you know, I've seen that guy, but I know different things about him. But the anointing works because you step out in the anointing. And the anointing isn't because you're perfectly doing everything right. If you step out in the anointing, if you pray for the sick, that doesn't mean your life is perfect. And you need to line up with the Word of God in a biblical sense. And by the Spirit, you're captured in the Spirit of the Lord. So then he went on and he was raising up and equipping the saints of God. And that's really the call that we've been called to. And I believe the church right now, and I've seen all the young people and they were looking to hear the word of the Lord so their lives could be changed, that they could do what God's wanting them to do on the earth. I would think that was why they were here. And then he went on, and I think maybe the challenge, wisdom to be a soul winner. And then he mentioned a 2-minute testimony. Remember that one? Our assignment was a 2-minute testimony of salvation. Okay, how many people completed their assignment? Anyone sit down and say, oh, okay, I'm going to write these 2 minutes. And so I hadn't done it until this morning because I was going to preach on it. So I was thinking about these 2 minutes, and I'm going, well, gee, I could, you know, I get up, man, I could talk for a long time. But it was 2 minutes about my salvation. And I was saying, well, why did he give us that? Because Jesus is enough. So in 2 minutes' time, because, you know, people short, you know, as far as attention areas, they're pretty short on attention. You know, if you get 2 minutes and you were serious about it, it literally would say, well, that guy and gal is different. And so I worked on my 2-minute one, and it's, I'll try, let's see, 2 minutes. Okay, starting now. Okay. I went to a meeting on Super Bowl Sunday 1980 and asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I could feel a spiritual force calling me to go forward and ask Jesus to come into my heart. It was difficult because I knew so many people in Detroit Lakes, and what would they think about me giving my life to Jesus? And Lowell Lundstrom was the evangelist, and he continued to say, come forward and ask Jesus Christ into your life. And I followed my heart. With all of the people that were there, I just had started a new business, and that new business, I figured that I would never get a job again if I went forward. You know, the devil's a liar. After I prayed the prayer and asked Jesus to come into my heart, I knew that I had been changed. After that day, my whole life changed. This is why I'm telling you this, because Jesus is enough to change every problem in your life, because he's enough. And so that was about 1 minute and 45 seconds. And so with that, I'm sure that you'll get a response back. And so if it was 2 minutes, but if we don't take the 2 minutes, will we ever get a response back from people? If I wouldn't have asked that young man about his life, he would have never said, I mean, he was honest. He said, I'm an atheist. And he really didn't know what an atheist was. He just thought if you didn't go to church, you're an atheist. You know what I'm saying? And I think that that's what the world is looking for, is something very simple, about 2 minutes, so they can get kick-started into the things of God. And maybe we're all challenged to again change and go back to simplicity. You know, it wasn't, you know, looking for the great revelation of the day, all the things that are going on, and what Jesus is doing, and he's so powerful. But Jesus is enough. And he was enough back the first day that I believed, and he's enough now. And he'll show miracles. He'll show miracles, signs, and wonders. And I was just thinking, in every aspect of our life, 2 minutes. And if you even told a person 2 minutes and then just said, well, that's what happened to me, and walk away, it'll change their life. Because we're spiritual beings. And as Dave was talking about this, he was saying, again, the area, he was saying, his presence is enough. Amen? and capturing us in the Spirit. So when we walk, when we're walking in His presence, we're being captured in the Spirit. And so I used to do this almost every day, and I've kind of broke a good habit and started a bad habit, is that I haven't asked every day, Jesus, could I witness to someone today? Would you put in my path someone that I could witness to? And so I understood what David was saying, or what the Spirit was saying through David. What if we just had a 2-minute time and left it with that, with the 2 minutes? Do you remember he was talking about, you know, you're waiting for the point where you're going to lead them to Christ? You know, so you get done with your 2 meetings, and right away you go for the jugular vein and lead the person to Christ. Hey, you know what? They're just looking for reality. And if you have reality, let them think about reality for a day or so, and they'll come and they say, oh, tell me more about this experience you had in Jesus Christ. And so I think that just from the conference, that was one thing that there was a lot, many things that I think were very, very good, but I think it was challenging to the church here, the church in Bedette, the church in, and each time we shared, David shared almost everything that he shared the first night with Canada, with Africa, with wherever we were speaking, and even with individual people and what that did to them. It really touched them. In fact, the one young lady went home and talked with her family, and her mother got so excited. I want that to happen to me. I've always wanted that to happen to me. And it was just that someone would speak a word from God into their lives. And so when she went back, she was thinking that, you know, my parents will think I'm goofy, but it was just the opposite. It was just the opposite. And I think that our challenge, again, our 2-minute challenge, is pretty important to have something to say, lay it out. Might be to a friend in school. It might be to someone that you're working with. I had kind of a little bit of a negative deal yesterday. I'd shared with this guy. It wasn't negative. It was just that he was so steeped in what he was thinking. He wasn't coming off. But because I stepped out and did it, I believe that I'll have another chance at it. And he wasn't belligerent, but, you know, a couple doors down from belligerent. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that yes, you're more than enough. You've given us, and you're wanting to capture our hearts. You're wanting to capture our lives, that we would not just be a stick thrown in the stream of life and not amounting to much in the realm of your Spirit, because Jesus, you are enough. You're enough, Jesus. You're enough to come and touch my life when I was untouchable. And when people said that if that guy could get saved, anyone could get saved. And isn't that all of our lives? If God could save me, then he could save anyone, because the testimony of what he's doing in the Holy Spirit over our lives is powerful. Father, we release the testimony of Jesus Christ over each person's life in this place, that their lives will never be the same again. Because God, in that, you're revealing yourself in the Spirit of the Lord. And I pray this next season of time, because we're in such a season where there's a lot of fear and where there's a lot of doubt, where there's a lot of unbelief that Jesus is enough. And so that's why they're going through all of the other things and finding out that it's not wiping out the disease, it's not wiping out the COVID-19. But God, we do believe that you are enough to wipe that out, and any other thing that would come against us. And if we start testifying, we'll start seeing the miracles, miracle-working God and the miracles of God in each of our lives. Amen. So we thank you for that now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So be it. God bless you. You have a great day in Jesus. Go and get them. And if you have them 2 minutes, it was kind of interesting to sit down for 2 minutes and just say, how am I going to put something together so it really change a person's life? But you don't have to be, you don't have to lay too much heavy on them, and they start understanding, wow, that changed people's lives. God bless you.